man. Love you.
Okay, thank you all for being in here with us today. This isn't a super easy topic. It's not a super fun topic, but it's really necessary, and Scripture gives us a lot of guidance on how to approach a situation when our sister sins against us. So just to introduce ourselves, I am Roxanne Bilby, and
I'm Sydney Gutierrez from Rogers State University with Ignite Campus Ministry.
Perfect.
And we've had the gift of doing campus ministry together for about 5 years. Sydney was involved with the campus ministry in Claremore before I moved to Claremore and started getting to work alongside her and the crew at RSU. And I just really cannot say enough about how thankful I am to get to do this by her side. And just the growth that I've seen in her over the last, since the time that we've started working together, but really, really intense spiritual growth in the last year as she's tackled this topic in addressing sin in the body and addressing when a sister sins against her, but then just also overall spiritual growth. And so I am just super, super grateful. And then even beyond that, we just get to share a really, really sweet friendship. At one point, whenever I was just struggling with life not looking the way I want it to look, with ministry not looking the way I want it to look, Lynn Stringfellow asked me, like, would you do it all over again if Sydney was the only result, if Sydney was the only fruit of your efforts at RSU? And I said, yes, 1,000,000 times yes, I would do it. Again and again, all of the heartache has been so worth Sydney and all of the women and men that we've met on campus at RSU. So that's just a little bit about us. We get to share a really beautiful relationship out of just teaching together here at Family Vacation, so that's pretty special. So we'll go ahead and get started. So this class, like we said, is to discuss if your sister sins against you. How are we to handle that biblically? How are we to conduct ourselves as disciples of Christ? And what our goal is in addressing sin in the body, and it always being forgiveness and reconciliation, and those being critical pieces of addressing sin, addressing the sin of a sister. So to start out, kind of our core verse for our time together is in Matthew 18. So if you want to follow along, we're going to read Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. And the topic of this section of verses is dealing with sin in the church. It says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, or if she listens to you, you have won her over. But if she will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If she still refuses to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat her as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if the two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. And so in these verses, it's Jesus talking. So these are words directly from the Son of God to us in dealing with sin in the church. Okay, so pretty reliable source in how to do this in a way that glorifies God. Okay, so to start out, I just want to get some feedback from you all. So we read this set of verses, and you can just yell it out. I just want to hear what stood out to you. Maybe you can include why you're here with us today. If this is something that's really hard for you, if this is something that you're really trying to learn how to do, I just want feedback from you all concerning those verses and this topic.
That's perfect. And we will talk about that. Y'all are so relatable, which is so wonderful, because it's a lot of what Sydney and I discussed in preparation for the class. So we see, like I said, that these words come directly from Jesus. And we see from the seriousness of his tone that dealing with sin in the church is no light matter. So it's really important to address sin. And of course, that doesn't come as a surprise to us as believers, but probably, you know, whatever length of time you've been in the kingdom, whether you've been a Christian for a couple of months or a couple of decades, you have seen why it is so important to address sin in the church. And you've probably seen it done really well, and you've probably seen it done not so well. And we're going to talk about the difference today. But you've experienced firsthand and seen the way sin impacts the body and the way it impacts relationships with one another and relationships with God, which is why it is so significant that it be addressed, because sin separates us from getting to experience God's goodness and that intimate relationship with Him that we get to experience as believers and we want our sisters to experience as fellow believers. You know, we don't want there to be a barrier. We don't want something to stand in the way of getting to experience the full goodness of God. And so, that being said, we've established that it is important. We've established that it is biblical. And so who here enjoys doing this by a raise of hands? Carol, I'm shocked you're here. No, I'm just kidding. Is it up? Okay, so that's what I thought. No one really enjoys this. Even people that I admire and I look up to who are super mature disciples, I don't think that they would say they particularly enjoy this process because it means there's a behavior standing in someone's way in their relationship with God, right? And so it's not something that we get like super excited about doing, and that's a good thing, right? Okay, it's necessary, but it's not super enjoyable. So who here thinks that it's easy? Okay, so it is neither enjoyable nor easy. And that's the footing that we're starting on today, okay? It's really hard. It's really hard. And it can be really, really awkward. And I've been on the receiving and the giving end of the really, really awkward of when my sister sins against me and sins against the body. But one thing that I thought about whenever I was preparing for this section of our lesson is just how necessary it is, right? And so my husband, Brent, loves UFC. He loves watching MMA fights. And there's this one fighter who, I don't think Natalie is in here, but she's a really big fan. There's this one UFC fighter, and his name is Jorge Masvidal. And he is from Miami, and his family is from Cuba. And he is just like full of personality. And in one of the post-fight interviews, so, you know, he's beat up, his competitor's beat up, and the reporter in the, like, press conference after the fight, because the fighters always get interviewed, the reporter is kind of dogging him for, like, laying additional punches on the other guy of, like, clearly the fight was over. You probably could have stopped punching him at this point, but you continued to punch him. Which is like, you know, a no-no. And so the reporter's like, that just wasn't very necessary. And Jorge just looks at him and he's like, it was super necessary. And so that's what I think about when I think about addressing sin is like, it's really hard, it's really awkward, and it's super necessary. And so we're going to talk about ways that we can do that and practical steps that move us toward reconciliation. And it's necessary because we have the words of Christ telling us to do this. And there's fruit on the other side of it, which is the peace that is really, really hopeful. There can be fruit of repentance. There can be fruit of restoration of relationship. And there can be restoration in the body, which is what we all want as believers, as we are a part of these bodies and these churches. And I just want to point out, you know, as we talk about how necessary it is, while it's not enjoyable and while it's not easy, we can look at relationships of our leaders, or just in our church body even, the authentic, the real relationships, and we can look at those relationships and say, oh my gosh, I want that, okay? And they are full of encouragement and they are full of life shared, but this is a piece of those real relationships happening, of you getting to experience that goodness and that fullness. Like when Hannah was talking yesterday about the girls that have just like stuck it out with her and like sat through the difficult conversations, like she gets to experience these beautiful relationships and she gets to experience this fruit in her life because this has been a part of their relationship and this journey of addressing the sin of a sister, of forgiving a sister when she sins against her. Okay. And so speaking of that, one thing that can make this process really difficult is forgiveness. Because first, We are disciples, but we are people who are disciples. And then another layer is we are women who are disciples. And so we're not always great at forgiving and letting go, hence Maria's super full bitter and enviness class. and so I just wanted to talk about, before we kind of get into some of the characteristics that we must possess in order to navigate these relational conflicts in a biblical way, is forgiveness. Because we need to talk about and we need to think about what motivates us to forgive, because that is an incredibly significant piece of what we're discussing today, okay? And so I wanted to start by reading Ephesians 4:32, and this is the Message translation. And it says, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, so that is a command from God. And so when our sister sins against us, and when we go through this process, and when we, you know, are faced with forgiveness, Scripture says, forgive one another as quickly and as thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. And so I want you to ask yourself, whenever your sister sins against you and you are faced with this really, you know, really difficult emotions, really heavy emotions, is how quickly and how thoroughly did God forgive you? Because love keeps no record of wrongs. And so if we are caught on, yeah, sure, I'll forgive her, but I'm never going to forget, that is not the biblical definition of love that we experience and that we get to submit to as disciples. And so a common thread that you'll hear us talk about today is the heart that we have in this process, which I thought that our opening keynote for this weekend was so biblical as that was discussed. The importance of heart, the importance of authenticity and intimacy in our relationship with God and our relationship with other disciples, because we can go through the motions all day long, and we are selling God short if that is where we stop, if our heart is not involved in the process, and if we do not quickly and thoroughly forgive, not holding on to bitterness, not holding on, not keeping record of wrongs, okay? So we're going to move into, after noting that forgiveness is a critical part of this process, that when our sister sins against us, because it is going to happen, and I'm going to out Jolie, because as she looks at me over her glasses, we have a back and forth always of, you know, when we get to a point where I or Sydney or Ashley or Carol or Kelly or whoever may be in her life is going to let her down. And we have gone back and forth of, it's going to happen. We're going to get to the point. We've probably already gotten to the point. We're people, and we're going to let each other down, and we're going to sin, and we're going to fall short because Scripture tells us we're going to, okay? And so let's just accept that. Let's exist in reality that it's going to happen with your best friend, with your husband, with your boyfriend, with your cell leader. It's going to happen. So how do we deal with it, okay? And we're going to walk through four characteristics. So I'm going to lay out two characteristics, and then Sid is going to lay out two characteristics and bring us to a close that we must possess in order to navigate relational conflicts that arise when our sister sins against us, okay? And so you'll note as we walk through these characteristics that we have a big role to play, right? Like, we get to take ownership of this process as disciples. Choice is at the core of God's love for us. We get to choose him. We get to choose to operate in a biblical way, and we get to take ownership of this process. And we have a responsibility, no matter what has been done, no matter who has done it, to do this in a biblical way, okay? And so first and foremost, if we are going to navigate these relational conflicts that arise as our sister sins against us in a biblical way, we must be gentle with one another. So that's our first characteristic, is I must be gentle. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers or sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Okay, and that's Galatians 6:1, and it says, when someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, which is what we should all, you know, aspire to be, should restore him or her gently. Okay, so what does gently look like? Well, it is referred to or referenced a lot in Scripture, and it was exemplified by Jesus, who, as we desire to be these spiritual women, obviously that is who we are desiring to mirror in our lives, right? Okay, and we see Jesus handle sin gently, restore someone gently in all of his interactions in Scripture. But what really stood out to me was in John 8 when the Pharisees bring Jesus the woman caught in adultery, okay? And she is caught in the act. I mean, sin deceives, it destroys, it takes away your hope, it enslaves. And I'm sure, you know, each of you have your own stories of redemption, and each of you have probably examples of times when you've been caught in sin by a friend, by a cell leader, and that looks a lot of different ways. But just put yourself in the shoes of this woman and how humiliating it would have been to have this experience, okay? And so she is brought, I picture her kind of thrown at Jesus, okay? And we look at the way that he handles this situation. We have no stone to throw, and Sydney talks further on that later, and we recognize that we are not the ones without sin. Okay, so whenever we're approaching these situations with our sister, one thing that is critical to remember in our process of being gentle is that we have been in her shoes, right? In some form or fashion. Sin, unfortunately, comes in a variety of flavors, and Satan is very creative in the way he tempts us and prods us toward our weaknesses and our hangups in life. But think about that whenever you're addressing this. Whenever, you know, you're in the situation where you are addressing the sin with your sister, that gentleness is critical, that you should desire, and we'll talk a lot about this, that she be restored and that she draw near Jesus, not that you, like the language of like slamming her down, totally get that, right? Like that is our temptation because we're frustrated and we're a lot of times annoyed and we're a lot of times you just need to get it together. Okay, but remember that you were or are the person who someone else is saying, I just need you to get it together, okay? And gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, which if you are a surrendered and baptized believer, the Spirit produces that fruit in you, right? I think it was at CMU last year, someone asked Ashley Catazon a question about, I think it was like in the realm of like taking your thoughts captive or just certain thought processes or emotions that this person kind of felt enslaved to. And it's just like, how do I work through this and move past this? And so Ashley walked through a couple of different things and then just reminded all of us that we have the Spirit of the living God in us. And gentleness is a fruit of that Spirit. So as I would even suggest, as you enter into these conversations with your sister, like pray, beg the Spirit, please God, produce this in me. Help me to be gentle. Help me to display these characteristics of love as I'm having this interaction with this person. And most simply stated, someone who is gentle wants to help others even when they have been done wrong, which I think is such a beautiful definition of gentleness that we get to operate under as believers, okay? And so something else that was touched upon just in the feedback is a lot of times the confronting of the sin is done in anger and not so much love. And I have done this. And I have been in those conversations where I'm just so, I mean, probably annoyed is the most real word I can utilize to describe how I was feeling. You know, I wasn't concerned for my sister to be restored. I was just so annoyed that the choice she was making wasn't in line with God's word. And it wasn't annoyed or frustrated in the sense of like, I just so desperately want you to return to God. But I'm just annoyed. Like, why are you doing that? That's annoying. That's frustrating. I have plenty of other things that I could be doing right now, but we're sitting there having this conversation for the 12th time. Okay, but that is not loving. And the goal is reconciliation. And so in James 1:19, it kind of outlines the zeal and passion that can come as believers. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Sorry, that doesn't outline the zeal and the passion. What I was trying to say is that we get to fall under that guideline as we address sin in the lives of our sisters, okay? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because so often, there are so many different emotions that are wrapped up in this process. Okay, so that's our first characteristic, is first and foremost, we must be gentle with one another. God is gentle with us, our leaders have been gentle with us, and we get to go through this process being gentle with our sister, okay? Secondly, I must be honest. I must be honest with my sister, and I must be honest with myself and what I'm seeing in the lives of those that I am walking alongside, okay? So, and our reference verse for this is Luke 6:31, which reads, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." And so one saying that I'm accrediting to Brené Brown, I think she said it first, but I may be wrong. But the saying is, to be clear is to be kind. Okay, in this process, it is really confusing and misleading when we beat around the bush. When we're in these conversations with our sister and we need to address something specific and real that is happening, something that is sinful and that does not align with God's word, and it is tempting to not be as direct as we need to be because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Okay, but Jesus, as we talk about, he is the model that we aspire to mirror in this lifetime. He is very direct in his language. And so this is a characteristic that we should desire to possess. And I'm sure if you've ever experienced being on the receiving end of a conversation that is not as direct as probably it needs to be, you leave confused. And you leave thinking that you're getting away with something. You're like, oh, sweet. Like, the behavior that I know is an issue and they know is an issue wasn't explicitly outlined, so therefore, it must not really be an issue, which isn't really true. Okay, that's a lie that we buy into. But we don't want to leave any room for that to happen as we walk alongside other disciples, as we aspire for other women to become who God had in mind whenever they created him. Whenever he created them, okay? And I say all this, and you know I'm using language like, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Okay, I can say, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. Maybe some of you share that same experience and thought process, but I am a people pleaser in recovery. I fight it literally every day of my life. Honestly, probably every single interaction in my life. And that's like not an exaggeration. I fight it with my husband. I fight it with the girls in my cell group. I fight it with my friendships. I fight it with my parents. It is like at the core of who I am, right? And not giving credit to me not being a new creation, but it is a deep, deep struggle that I have, okay? And so I say all this and I give these examples and I talk about the need to be honest and the need to be direct as someone who deeply, deeply struggles with this. And it's really good to recognize that. And it's really good to work against yourself and note that that's going to be something that you're going to have to continually check yourself on and the people in your life, as we talk about this weekend, how important it is to surround yourself with people who are going to hold you accountable, will check you on, okay? And I have a lot of examples in ministry that I can give of seasons of my life where I was just people pleasing and, you know, I thought I was doing the best that I could and I was not having as direct of conversations as I needed to have. And the fruit is not what I wanted it to be because it's not the prescription that God gives. Okay, it doesn't lead to this life change and this restoration that we all deeply desire, whether or not we're at a point where we really know that we deeply desire that, okay? And kind of one example that I always go back to that was so impactful and such a learning experience for me is whenever I was, I guess I was a senior in college, and then when I was fresh out of college, I worked as a case manager at a transitional living home for women and children. And the women that I got to work with were in recovery from substance use, okay? And a lot of them were in the process of trying to regain custody of their children from the state of Oklahoma. And so they were in really, really vulnerable situations. They had really, really colorful backgrounds. They had seen some things. They had done some things. They had a lot of things done to them, okay? And whenever there was a woman who I could kind of tell was beginning to make choices that were not in line with our program rules and that were not healthy for her, it was super tempting to just turn the other cheek because, you know, maybe she was a woman that was making a lot of progress, or maybe she had just gotten her children back from the state of Oklahoma. And in my mind, I was just like, surely not. Surely not. Surely she's not doing that. Why would she do that? That doesn't make any sense. She has these babies. You know, this doesn't make any sense. And so it was really tempting for me to fall into those tendencies. But I had worked alongside at that transitional living home two employees who had graduated the program. Okay, so they had walked the walk, and now they're talking the talk. And so whenever someone started to make those decisions, they could pick it out like it was nobody's business, and they would confront these women with zero hesitation. I mean, they would not pull any punches. And I would look at the interactions they would have, and I would be like, man, like, that seems kind of harsh, that seems kind of strict, blah, 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 blah. But they knew the seriousness of the choices that they were beginning to make, and they knew the path that it could lead to, okay? And we all know that path, because we have all walked that path. We don't have program rules, but we have God's word. And he gives us a standard, and it's a good standard, and it's a life-giving standard. And so if we are ever tempted to turn the other cheek, just think about what the alternative is. And it is allowing your sister to continue in a behavior unaddressed that is going to lead to death. Maybe physical death, but for sure spiritual death, okay? And that's really helpful to me. That's a practical step that I take of, if I don't do this, then what about this? Okay, and so that's something that you can think about and you can remember of, like, man, what do I want for her? I want her to live the life God has planned for her. And I know that I have to put myself, that I get to put myself in this uncomfortable, awkward conversation that could potentially draw her attention toward, hey, like, the path you're going down is scary and it doesn't lead to life, and I don't want that for you. Okay, so, and something else that I just wanted to reference is at Refocus last year, Jake gave a lesson that I don't actually remember, like, what the topic of the lesson was, but one point that he made is, like, we should not be sweeping things under the rug. Like, we as a community that is surrendered to God should not be sweeping behaviors under the rug. We shouldn't be turning the other cheek. And he even gave the example of, like, we should really probably be, you know, like, fighting with one another more. Of, like, are we going at it? Are we, that sounded kind of weird. That's not what I meant. Like, are we fighting with one another? Like, are we, like, getting up in each other's business? Like, hey, what are you doing? Like, I see that you are going down this path. I see that you are making this choice. And again, I say all this with this being probably my number one weakness on a long list, okay? This is something that I fight against every single day, but it is good to do this, and it is biblical to do this, and it leads to life and reconciliation for the women that we love so, so deeply, okay? And so those are our first two characteristics. I must be gentle, and I must be honest. And before I hand this over to Sydney, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the way I've seen this process go in a direction that doesn't align with Scripture in addressing sin in the body, in addressing when my sister sins against me. You know, some of these I've seen, some of these I've done, some of them both. But whenever we're not going about this in a biblical way, it typically involves the heart not aligning with desiring reconciliation for the person that we are confronting sin with. That's usually at the core of us not handling this in a biblical way. And so something that was kind of mentioned, not explicitly stated in this way, but sometimes what happens is the sin is gossiped about instead of confronted. And that is just as bad as the sin that is happening itself. And we need to remember that talking about someone and not talking to someone is a really dangerous place to be. Okay, and you know, that can also look in the way of like, well, I'm gonna inform my leader so that they can deal with it instead of me dealing with it, even though I know that it's going on, I see it, I know that this is happening. And that's not to say, like what you brought up of like seeking godly counsel, especially like depending on what, you know, like what stage of your journey you're in, that is valid and that is biblical. And your leader will walk you through that, and she, or he will help you navigate this process. But like, I know our leadership, and I can almost guarantee the leadership here is going to ask you, like, have you talked to this person about this? Like, have you had this difficult conversation with this person? And that is a super wonderful opportunity for you to have incredible growth as a disciple. Like, going through this process and having these hard conversations, it is a major turning point in the lives of the disciples that I've seen. Whenever they surrender to the standard God has, whenever they undergo this process, whenever they do say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have the hard conversation. I'm going to address this behavior that's uncomfortable to address. It is an incredible pivotal moment. It can be for you as a disciple. And so there's a lot of hope in that, okay? And so ultimately, that goes back to your motive behind it of, do you want that person to get caught? Or do you want that person to be reconciled in their relationship with God ultimately, but also in other relationships in the body? And so that being said, I am going to hand it over to Sydney. So we've covered those first two characteristics, and she is going to walk us through two more characteristics that we get to embody as believers.
Okay, so this is my first time teaching at Family Vacation, and I'm just so thankful for Roxanne and Brent and Lynn and Carol for helping us prep. And as Roxanne said at the beginning, I've had to grow in this area this past year, and I'm hoping that in 2024, I grow in a different way. So our first point is that I must be humble, or our third point is that I must be humble. And the verse that we're looking at is Matthew 7, verse 3 through 5. So the verse says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother or sister's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time you have a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your sister's eye. So when approaching a brother or a sister in this case, about sin, we need to make sure that we're coming in with the right motives and the right heart, like what Roxanne said. And so as the person who is confronting, we need to, as she said, pray that God would give us the right words and just check our heart and be willing to offer help. Like, I know for me, something that I've had to learn is that it doesn't have to be like, okay, I saw this happen and I want to confront this person, and so I'm going to ask them, hey, can we schedule a time to talk about this? And then it'd be a two-hour conversation. Like, that doesn't always have to be what it looks like. It can happen in the moment, especially if it's like something public that's happening, like someone's gossiping at cross chat about maybe someone new, or just some other thing that you see that you're like, hey, that's not okay, and it's happening in public, so I'm going to address that. Like, hey, we don't talk about new people like that, or hey, that's not how we show love here. And so, that's not the right page. Hold on. There we go. So, and also, like Roxanne, remembering that the point of having this conversation is that repentance and forgiveness happens. That restoration of the relationship is what's most important, not pride or cynicism, that we're addressing what's happening in our own lives so that we can address what's happening in others and vice versa. and then coming into the convo with the fruits of the Spirit. Like, we can't address truth and love if we don't have those fruits, if we're not leaning on God. And then as the receiver of this conversation, we also need to have a humble heart. Because at the core of unrepentant sin is rebellion. And rebellion is of Satan, first of all. Like, that's why Satan fell. And then we need to remember to repent and return to obedience to God to go on. Because that's exactly where Satan wants us to be. He wants us to be living in rebellion, and that's not what God wants. And then the fourth point is that we must abide. And so abide is coming from abode, which means to live within. And our verse is John 15:1-2. And that says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So we need to be remaining in God so that we have the fruits of the Spirit, which we've talked about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. We can't produce these on our own, and we need those in order to confront our sister. And then as the receiver of the pruning, that doesn't feel good, and neither does the giving. And so that's another reason why we need to be abiding in God. We need to have grace for both parties because it is good, and ultimately God is good, even though it doesn't feel good. And then one promise that we see whenever we go through the Seeking God study is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And so ultimately, God wants what's best for us. And we need to remember that so does our sister who is confronting us. Like, she wants to see us win. She wants to see us grow. And so we just need to have grace on both sides. Like, whenever maybe it's not done in as loving a way as we think it could be done, just having grace for her and that she is, like, trusting that her heart is in the right place. And then sometimes the person who is being confronted with unrepentant sin is someone who is near and dear to you. That maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your best friend, maybe it's your family, and you have to remain in God because sometimes you have to put boundaries in place. Sometimes you have to say things that are hard, and the world is going to tell you that you don't have to do that. Like, why would you put all this effort into being nice to them when they've sinned against you? But whenever it's someone close to you, that can become personal. And speaking from experience, it's painful when someone that you love is denying God. And there's, like, thinking about that whenever that is happening to that person, there are tapes that play in your mind, that play in their mind of, like, people who love me leave me, or everybody hates me. I heard that was something that Hannah talked about in her lesson. And knowing that those tapes play in our head too, and then having grace with them whenever we are addressing that. And then pruning doesn't always have to look like someone being removed from the body. Sometimes pruning can look like those strongholds being removed from your life and your sister's life, which is just a lie. Strongholds are a lie that Satan gives us that we believe. And so being gentle with our sister is important, and so is being humble, and so is abiding. And we're going to wrap this up with Hebrews 12:10-11. And it says, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So this is a part of life. Like, we all know, a child who is disciplined by their parents usually turns out to be a pretty good kid. But then the unspoiled, like the spoiled, unruly brat that we see is like, we know that that's not how we want to raise our kids. And we're always the best parent until we become a parent. We're always like, my kid will not be like that. And then we turn out just like that. And so, but God can't parent that way because he's a loving God. And so he has to discipline his children. And sometimes that looks messy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes there's fights, like Roxanne said. But ultimately, it's good because we want what's best for our sister. And so forgiveness, confrontation, and restoration are necessary for authentic relationship. That means being genuine and vulnerable in our communication and interactions. It means being gentle, honest, humble, and abiding in Christ, and trusting that his ways are better than our ways. And the whole goal of spiritual discipline is that forgiveness, restoration of the relationship, peace, and righteousness be restored. And I also have a reference that's on the Campus Ministries United website. It's the book called That We May Share in His Holiness, and it's a free resource that you can read, and it goes more in depth on this topic of addressing sin in your sister's life. And so I encourage you guys to check that out. And that's our lesson.
Thanks. I think we're done with that.